listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So once again, we are so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. And I think we're recognizing that each and every day that goes by. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And we're going to be using as our prayer a supplication found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. It's the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, a joy. Mother, we've got two great feast days upcoming. We've got the Holy Family on Friday, tomorrow, and we've got Mary, Mother of God, on Sunday. And such a blessed, I mean, it just seems that we're in the Christmas, we're in the Christmas season, and all of a sudden, all the importance of what used to be revered, used to be treasured, used to be sanctified, has really been loosened up. I mean, for example, what I'm saying is the family is where the children are nurtured, and they take what they've been given in the good, and they go out into the world, and that world becomes that good. Well, as the breakdown of the family has occurred over the last, let's say, 80 years or so, the same teaching, the same morals, the same justifications are not met in the family. So then, hence, these children go into the world, and the world becomes a bit skewed, a bit foggy, and a bit worse than it was before. And this has been a gradual occurrence. Again, it's no surprise why the evil one has inflicted pain and injury into the family. Just like, if you get the family, you get the world eventually if you get in the families. Just as if, when you attack the church, you go for the pastor. So if you get the pastor, you get the flock. So again, it's a diabolical disorientation that Our Lady of Fatima spoke about. But the good news is, and I've been thinking about this, and Mother, we've been talking about this, the family of Nazareth, as our Blessed Lady explains, as our Blessed Lord explains, it is the true family. It's where the divine will flourished. We have, even in the midst of all this madness that's going on in the world, we still have the possibility, we still have the capability of bringing back this little nucleus, this little family. Let's say, I know we can't go back to the 50s, but remember, some of us, I wasn't born in the 50s, but I read stories, I've watched movies, but in the 50s, it was a joyous time. It was a loving time. The families were connected. They were together. We can go back to that. It starts with each one of us. And then as we send our children back into the world, we can now reverse the disintegration that has happened over the years. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. Because again, I think it's gotten so bad, Mother, that it's going to take divine intervention. Hence, I think why God waited for this time to give us the gift of living in the divine will. Your thoughts?
Yes, well, he's given us so many crutches these days. We have Our Lady, who's been appearing in Medjugorje since 1981 to give us the graces that comes from there. We have the Eucharist that we can receive every day. What a great privilege and grace that we can be receiving Jesus every day. We should take advantage of that great opportunity. I was just reading here, and it was December 26th, Volume 4, Luisa was saying, as I continue to see the Holy Baby, I saw the Queen Mother on one side and Saint Joseph on the other, adoring the divine infant profoundly. being all intent on him, it seemed to me that the continuous presence of the little baby kept them engrossed in continuous ecstasy. And if they could work, it was a prodigy that the Lord operated in them. Otherwise, they would have remained motionless, unable to attend to their external duties. I too did my adoration, and then I found myself inside myself. So here Louisa was doing her adoration of the baby Jesus, but we can adore him every day in the Eucharist. We have to just, you know, realize the gift of faith. We should pray for that gift, to realize his presence, just like he was present in the stable in Bethlehem. He's present in the Eucharist, in every church, churches throughout the world. We have that great opportunity to adore him, just like Our Lady and Saint Joseph adored him in Bethlehem. So I think we should take that advantage, you know, and realize the great privilege we have been given and the great gift of the Eucharist. Take advantage of it, and not just receive him, but after you receive him, spend 15, 20 minutes in thanksgiving, realize the divine indwelling, the presence of God within, and adoring him there within you. You can receive communion haphazardly with lukewarmness and just walk out the church and get nothing from it. Or you can just pray there after you received him, spend time with him, adoring him like Our Lady and Saint Joseph adored him in the crib in Bethlehem. So I encourage everyone to receive him on a daily basis. It's a great opportunity we have now. And then adore him after you receive him, and spend time in adoration if you can go to adoration. Spend time adoring Jesus there. Even if the Blessed Sacrament is not exposed, you can go into the church and adore him in the tabernacle. Even though you don't see him, he's there. He's just as much there as if you could see him. So take those opportunities that you have, these privileges that God has given us today, these great gifts. These are tremendous gifts that he's given us. And reading the divine will, of course, is a great gift. You know, it helps your faith to grow so that you understand the divine will in a deeper, a divine indwelling in a deeper way. You can understand his presence within in a fuller way, and adore him there, realizing the reality of his presence. We should pray for that gift, not just to know intellectually his presence is there, but to realize his presence, have that great gift of realization of the divine indwelling within us.
And you know, Mother, too, the gift comes as a test as well. I mean, let's just take the Eucharist, the beautiful Holy Eucharist, which is the divine will. Mm-hmm. We have the Eucharist, as the church teaches us, for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves. So this is our, basically, if we don't desire the Eucharist, if we don't desire the divine will for 15 minutes, how can we possibly desire it for eternity or for perpetuity? So again, as we grow in love with our Blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist, it's conditioning us. It's actually addicting us to God's love so that we do desire, we will desire, and we can desire his most holy divine will when it becomes available. And it's available now to each and every one of us. Sister?
Yeah. Just came to mind, this friend of mine, Dr. Sanchez, who's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's a neurologist, and he tested a lot of visionaries with a machine. He had him hooked up to this machine, and he tested this woman in Ecuador who was receiving apparitions. I think her name is Pachi. And he tested her when she received communion. He had hooked up to the machine, and on the machine, he got for 15 minutes, 333, 333, 333. So he wrote a book, and the name of the book is called 333. but he tested a lot of visionaries in different ways and proved scientifically the real presence of Jesus and how long he's there with us, you know. But that lasted for 15 minutes. So I encourage you to realize that when you receive communion, he's with you. The church teaches that. He's with you for at least 15 minutes. Some people may have a slow digestive system. He may be with you to 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Take advantage to adore him and pray and look at him within yourself during that special time.
Right, because we're so tempted right after communion to start talking and engaging in our lives again, but to give God that 15 minutes is the best adoration.
Yeah, there's so much talking at the church. And, you know, even if people are talking around you, just close your eyes and you pray. If so many more people would be doing that, maybe everyone around would notice them praying and then they would stop talking. At Lourdes and in at Medjugorje too, when the people talk, they go to the mic and they go, shh. and everybody stops talking. Maybe in more churches than each. It's a nice way of saying, be quiet, you know, just get on the mic to say that. What we do after Mass is we sing, we open the Blessed Sacrament again, we adore Jesus after Mass, and in order to keep people from talking, we sing a Eucharistic prayer, a Eucharistic song. We chant it, and everybody's quiet, and we open the tabernacle for people to be quiet and to adore Jesus. You know, there are different ways to do it. But I think, you know, if the priests would make announcements more often for people to be quiet in the church, I know some priests who have done that, and the people respect that, and they have total silence right after Mass. It's up to the priest to make it known. People don't know better. They think it's okay. They think it's a right time to socialize. But if you want to socialize, go out of the church. Right. But I wouldn't socialize until after those 15 minutes are over, that right, if you receive Jesus, you adore him first, then go out and socialize.
That's right. Hello, yeah, sister. Come stick on that pole.
Okay. Thank you so much. Pray for us. We're under the weather, but we're making
it. Heard, yes. But you're troopers. You're fighters. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for making the day today.
You're very welcome. In addition to adoration that Mother mentioned before the Blessed Sacrament, you know, I've been pondering about that also. You know, what did our Blessed Mother, who lived in the divine will all the days of her life as a child, and I think Blessed Mother grew up even as a little child in adoration. This was even before the incarnation of the Lord in her womb. So I think that you can go further, you know, not only adoring the Lord before the Blessed Sacrament, but if we live in the divine will, we call out the Lord to be present in our lives, all the days of our lives, to act in our acting, to pray in our praying. When we really have that desire and faith that Jesus is living in me, then I can adore him anytime. I don't have to wait until I go to Mass. I don't have to wait until, you know, I will be before the Blessed Sacrament. What I do, you sometimes, you know, when I have time and I'm not busy with work, I consciously make awareness of adoration by using my memory, my imagination. So I would be lying in bed and I would imagine the monstrance before me, or the baby Jesus in the manger, and I would adore him there. That is in imitation of our Blessed Mother. So that's another thing. You know, if you go far beyond that, don't wait until you are before the Blessed Sacrament. Try to be silent in your soul, because sometimes, you know, we can be silent with our mouth, but interiorly we're busy. So silence is basically just making aware that God is working in me. If I'm working, it's God working in me, whatever I do. I would like to meditate, share with everybody about the life of the Holy Family, and this is the day 23 meditation of our Blessed Mother in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And our Blessed Mother is teaching us, describing to us the kind of life that they experienced in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. So Blessed Mother says, all crosses, sorrows, and humiliations invested by the life of the Divine Fiat are like raw material in its hands in order to nourish its kingdom and extend it more and more. So Blessed Mother is telling us that their life is full of sorrows and sufferings, humiliations. Therefore, pay attention to me and listen to your mama. I continued my stay in the grotto of Bethlehem with Jesus and dear Saint Joseph. How happy we were. Through the presence of the divine infant and of the divine will operating in us, that little grotto had changed into paradise. It is true that pains and tears were not lacking, but compared to the immensities of joy, of happiness, and of light, which the divine fiat made arise in each one of our acts, they were just little drops plunged into these seas. And then the sweet and loving presence of my dear son was a happiness of the greatest kind. And the first suffering here that she went on was about the circumcision of the Lord. When the eighth day came, they had to circumcise the Lord, and the circumcision, it was called the law of sin. And even though Jesus did not commit sin, they have Blessed Mother and with Saint Joseph, they had to comply with the law, because Jesus wants to be in any way like us, because that's the only way he can save us, is to be like us. So he becomes human like us, suffering from our human will, which is the cut, the circumcision is from our human will, our sin. And Jesus, even though he didn't have sin, he wants to experience that pain. And Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, being good parents and loved their child so much, compassionated him. And they mixed their tears with the tears of Jesus. I think this is a very moving experience, really. And then not to mention about the lack of sleep, perhaps, when they were taking care of Jesus and crying. And then they continue, my child, this cut was the image of the cruel cut that man had made to his own soul by doing his own will. My dear son allowed himself to receive this cut in order to heal that hard cut of the human wills, to heal with the blood the wounds of the many sins that the poison of the human will has caused in the creatures. Every act of the human will is a cut which is inflicted and a wound that is opened, and the celestial baby with his most painful cut prepared a remedy for all the human wounds. So though it was a suffering for them, for Jesus to experience this pain of cut, but the joy of the fruit of this circumcision of Jesus, the redemption of many, many souls who have fallen into sin. So I guess this is the joy and the peace that our Blessed Mother, she had to look forward to the suffering, like all of us, as she teaches us. We don't stop at the cross, but we have to go far beyond the cross. The fruit of the cross is that's when we can come into the state of peace and joy. And I continue here. The second suffering here that Blessed Mother mentioned is the visit of the Magi. She said, in fact, when the Magi were in the act of adoring him, enraptured by that celestial beauty, the newborn baby made his divinity shine forth from his little humanity, and the grotto turned into paradise, so much so that they were not able to separate themselves from the feet of the divine infant, not before he again withdraw the light of the divine within his divinity within his humanity. And I, exercising the office of mother, spoke at length of the descent of the word and fortified them in faith, hope, and charity, symbolized by the gifts offered to Jesus. Then, full of joy, they withdraw to their regions to be the first propagators. So Blessed Mother evangelized to them and explained to them what's happening. And the Magi became the first propagators after the birth of Jesus. But I would like to stretch your imagination here. Who was the last propagator of faith at the very end of life of Jesus? It was Pontius Pilate. I heard this from one of the speakers. You know, so the Magi was the first. Pontius Pilate was the first by virtue of him proclaiming, I don't find any guilt from this man. And then he wrote the inscription, King of the Jews. So that was his proclamation, King of the Jews. Okay, going back. So the next sorrow that our Blessed Mother explained here is the 40-day, the presentation of the Lord. And she says, 40 days from birth of the little King Jesus are about to sound when the divine fiat calls us to the temple in order to fulfill the law of the presentation of my son. So we went to the temple. It was the first time that we went out together with my sweet baby. A vein of sorrow opened in my heart. I was going to offer him as victim for the salvation of all. We entered the temple, and first we adored the divine majesty. Then we called the priest, and placing him in his arm, I made the offering of the celestial baby to the eternal Father, offering him in sacrifice for the salvation of all. The priest was Simeon, and I placed him in his arm. He recognized that he was the divine word and exulted with immense joy. And after the offering, assuming the attitude of prophet, he prophesied all of my sorrows. Oh, how the supreme fiat sounded over my maternal heart thoroughly with vibrating sound. The cruel tragedy of all the pains of my little son, but that which pierced me the most were the words that the holy prophet said to me, this dear baby will be the salvation and ruin of many and will be the target of contradiction. Therefore, in addition to the right of mother, which I had over all, I acquired the right of mother and queen of all sorrows. Ah, yes, with my sorrows, I acquired a little coin to pay the debts of my children and even those of the ungrateful children. Again, this is the mixture of sorrow and the joy, the sorrow of the sword that will cut the passion of the Lord that he will experience and the joy of the redemption of humanity. And lastly here, our Blessed Mother is exalting and encouraging us to embrace our crosses, our redemptive suffering. And she says, now listen to your mama. In your suffering, in the painful encounters which are not lacking for you, never lose heart. But with heroic love, let the divine will assume its royal place in your pains, so that it may convert them into little coins of infinite value with which you will be able to pay the debts of your brothers, to ransom them from the slavery of the human will, and may them enter again as free children into the kingdom of the divine will. So she encourages us to suffer well, to offer it and join it in the divine will. And, you know, like now a lot of people are suffering from the flu, from all the sufferings, war, whatever. We can unite that in the suffering of Jesus and Blessed Mother through the divine will. And we can even offer it up for the Holy Father, who's very, very ill right now. That's what I'm doing. You know, all what I'm feeling, you know, I include the Holy Father and for all souls in purgatory. And it makes my suffering more light, more peaceful, and I can even sometimes experience joy. You know, I mean, it's not easy, but when I change my mentality, when I look at the fruits of this, then I don't suffer as much.
Yeah, Sister, you mentioned about the meditation, how important that is, because you know, we need to begin with that meditation and have that meditation morph into a contemplation, and it begins with our imagination. You know, Louisa used her imagination in the Christmas novena. But then she had to defer her imagination. Our imaginations reach a certain level, a limit. We have to defer it at that point to God and let him take over. St. John of the Cross speaks about this, actually, in the Articles of Vatican II, it's there also. But we must relinquish put our active imagination on hold and allow it to become a passive imagination so that God can take over. And that's how we're going to enter into that contemplation reign, and then of course the mystical gifts, which we want. But again, we can't earn those mystical gifts; they're just given. But they're being given to us. They have been given to us. They're being given to us right now, and they're going to be given to us in the future. It's all a matter of how we use them, right, Mother? Hello, Sister.
Hi, hello, Peter. Hi, everyone. I would like to share with you day 25 of the Book of the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary say, now you must know that the little house of Nazareth was a paradise for your mama, for dear and sweet Jesus, and for Saint Joseph. And I was meditating on this few sentences before in adoration, and I was trying to imagine myself in the house of Nazareth and to feel that paradise that they were feeling, and I was thinking how many times a house can be a paradise, but also can be transformed in hell. All it depends how we live in a family. I mean, I'm sure all families has problems, as the family of Nazareth, they had many problems, but they never complained. So this also, it could be for us in our families when we have problems. I'm sure we have, everyone has their problems, but we should start not complaining, but uniting our families with the family of Nazareth, trying to see what the Virgin Mary would do in that situation, and also Saint Joseph, how Saint Joseph would react on certain situation that will present on a daily basis. So we should start living our family, living in our house, in our family, like the family of Nazareth. And it won't be easy, but it will. It's an exercise. It's up to us if we want to live in a paradise, or if we want to live in a mediocre, not really paradise, or even hell, but it's up to you. And then later he said, dear child, it is in this house the kingdom, the divine will was in full force. Every little act of ours, working, starting the fire, preparing the food, were all animated by supreme volition and were formed on the solidity of the sanctity of pure love. So also we have to do everything for pure love of Jesus. When a wife cook for their kids or for the husband, yes, he does it for them because it's a husband and a child, but also they have to do it because that's is Jesus in that person. And then you do everything that's an act done of pure love for Jesus. And we should start also on our acts, like of the acts that we do in our family, call Jesus to do that act in us, unite our acts with the acts that the Virgin Mary, Jesus, and Saint Joseph did in their daily life.
So true, so true. Thank you, sister, for that. You know, it's Jesus, I think he summarized it in the first sentence in volume 34, May 31st, 1936. Our Lord says, "And my return to Nazareth, how well it symbolized my divine will," end quote. So again, do we have the opportunity to come back to that family of Nazareth? Each of us does. It's not going to be easy. It's like Saturn going against stream, but it's possible to get back, gain back that peace, that tranquility, that mutual respect, that love, that adoration, that healthy fear of God, all of which was present at one time, needs to come back. And it can only come back really through divine grace. And God is offering us that grace, that opportunity, that gift right now. It's right here. It's right here for us. God says, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally, now.
Yeah.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live, your live stream from Italy. And now switching gears a bit from the Holy Family, great way to start, has to start there. And now Mary, our Blessed Mother, Mother of God, celebration coming up shortly. I'd like to begin with a quote, if I may. Quote, "We believe that the Most Holy Mother of God, the New Eve, the Mother of the Church, carries on in heaven her maternal role with regard to the members of Christ, cooperating in the birth and the development of divine life in the souls of the redeemed." And that was by Blessed St. John Paul II, Redemptoris Mater, number 47. Again, St. Pope John Paul II, he knew. I believe he really did know, just by that quote alone, Mary, Most Holy Mother of God. And, you know, it's interesting, too, that Our Lady wants to be the mother to each and every one of us, and she can be. And again, where does any good family begin? It begins with the mother, with motherhood. And I'd just like to just start off with a quick quote from December 24th, 1936. Quote, "How much love does a good mother not win from her children?" And then she goes on to say, "Do not fear. Come to us. We are like you in everything. Come, and we will give you everything. My arms will always be ready to embrace you. And in order to defend you, I will keep you enclosed inside my heart to give you everything. It is enough to tell you that I am your mother and that my love is so great that I keep you conceived inside my heart. But all this is nothing yet. I was God. I was to operate as God. Our love kept running and running and went on inventing new devices of love, yet more excessive." End quote. Our Lady speaks for herself. She always includes her Blessed Son and the Holy Trinity. It all starts with the mother in the family of Nazareth. It did, the fiat. And again, moms out there, you want to bring these families and our families back into the full breath of God, I guess it has to begin with you again. Not to put any pressure. No pressure. But fathers, you have to do your part also. Mother, sisters, back to you.
Hi, Peter. Tomorrow is the Feast of Holy Family, which is my title. And I ask for your prayers because I renew my third vow. Today, I'm reading my passage from Volume 30. It's April 30th, 1932. It talks about this invitation. Jesus is inviting us to be the royal family. Therefore, I am doing as a king would, who would want to elevate a family with bonds of kinship with his royal family. In order to do this, first he takes one member of them. He keeps her in his royal palace. He raises her. He eats together with her, accustoms her with his noble ways, entrusts his secrets to her, and in order to make her worthy of himself, he lets her live of his will. And in order to be more secure, and in order to not let her descend into the baseness of her family, he makes her the gift of his volition so that she could hold it in her power. What the king cannot do, I can do it, by locating my will in order to make a gift of it to the creature. So the king has his eyes fixed on her. He always goes embellishing her, dressing her with precious and beautiful clothes in a way that he feels himself enamored. And not being able to endure it any longer, binds her to himself with a lasting bond of marriage, in a way that one becomes gift of the other. With this, both parts have the right to reign, and the family acquires the bond of kinship with the king, and the king for love of she who has given herself to him, and because he has given himself to her, calls the family to live in his royal palace, giving them the same gift that he gave to her whom he loved so much. So there's really no way that a poor family, a common family, becomes a royal family. you know, they don't have fortune, they don't have fame or royal title, so they can become the kinship with the royal family. But in order for this poor family to become a royal family, the king has to announce some kind of law officially that he intends and that he will do such things. To make the poor family as a royal family, the king first takes a person from the family, a woman. He lets her live in his palace. He eats with her. He lets her eat with him and teach her to familiarize with royal manners. He also shares his secrets so that she can be worthy to live according to his will. He takes care of her so well that she doesn't go back to her poor state. As he takes the one person from the poor family, at the same time, he also prepares the other whole family members to be royal. This is how God works. He doesn't complete a work just for one person. All his gifts are for all the people. Just like God chose Abraham to bless all nations, and just like God chose disciples, Jesus chose disciples to send them to the world to evangelize. So he calls one person, and through that person, he calls all the family, all the people. As we heard in the metaphor of the king, Jesus bound Luisa. She is the representative of our whole human generations. She bound her with marriage. And as through that woman in the story, all family members acquire the rights, the bond of kinship with the king. So our sister, Luisa, she received this gift of living in the divine will. So we too acquire the rights to receive the gift of divine will. And in the encyclical of Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th, it says that the God is love. He said that the love story between God and human, it grows in the union of wills through the union of thoughts and emotions. He says that the will of God is not forced anymore. And because as we realize the divine indwelling in ourself, which is deeper than ourself, then it becomes our will. So his will becomes our will. And of course, Benedict XVI, he knew the writings of Luisa. And he also said that the completion of love is realized not by the obedience to the commandments, but by the union of will of God and our will. It becomes similar and gets united. So it's not by force, but we are doing it with our own will. He also said that when those two wills are united, it becomes the best form of prayer. So he was talking about the fusion of two wills. He was talking about this divine will, how important it is to become for two wills become one. So Luisa, she asked, how is it possible? How do creatures should do in order to receive this gift? So Jesus told to Luisa, there are three ways. You have to desire it. You have to want it to receive. And then the second one is you have to desire to know it, to know the gift. And then the third one is to thank the gift. You know, we have to be thankful for the gift. So in his answer, we recognize that Jesus wants us to use our three abilities. By wanting the gift, we are using our will. And by knowing the gift, we are using our intelligence. And also by using our heart, our memory, we are thanking the Lord about this gift. So let us ask God the grace to be part of his royal family, especially tomorrow as the Feast of Holy Family. And also let us also pray for the Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI for his health. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all love. The love was in the Holy Family. We can return that love in each and every one. It starts with our family. It starts today, perhaps, sister.
Yeah, so today for my meditation, I like to read from day 4, the fourth step of the divine will in the Queen of Heaven, the test. And I believe earlier, Peter, you mentioned about the test. And I'm going to read the part from this day that specifically talks about the test. And when I read this part today and thought about it, it really inspired me, because right now, like, God's allowing, like, all these little, like, tests in our lives, like this illness, just like offering it up in the divine will for the Holy Father, for our family members that are not doing so good, for the family members of others that we know that are not doing so good. And just if we offer up all our sufferings in the divine will and just say, like, thank you, Jesus, for this suffering, then especially if we do it in the divine will, we don't only touch souls in the present, we can also touch souls in the past and the future, which is really amazing. So this is the part that I like to read today. But while all was smile and feast between me and them, I saw that they could not trust me if they did not receive a proof. My child, the test is the flag that claims victory. The test places all the goods that God wants to give us in safekeeping. The test matures and disposes the soul to gains of great conquests. I too saw the necessity of this test because I wanted to give proof to my Creator with an act of loyalty which would cost me the sacrifice of my whole life in exchange for the many seeds of grace that He had given me. How beautiful it is to be able to say, "You have loved me, I have loved you," but without the test it can never be said. Now know, my child, that the divine fiat made me know the creation of man innocent and holy. For him too everything was happiness. He had command over all creation, and all the elements were obedient to his wishes. Since the divine will was reigning in Adam, by virtue of it, he too was inseparable from his Creator. After God had given so many goods to him, in order to receive one act of faithfulness in Adam, he commanded him not to touch one fruit only of the many which were in the terrestrial Eden. That was the proof that God wanted to confirm his innocence, sanctity, and happiness, and to give him the right of command over the whole of creation. But Adam was not faithful in the test, and because he was not faithful, God could not trust him. So he lost command, innocence, and happiness. And one can say that he turned the work of creation upside down. So God allows, like, all these little tests and temptations in our lives so we can, like, fight against it. And when we fight against it, we become stronger. Like Jesus, he was tempted by the devil in the desert, and Jesus resisted that, as seen in the scripture. And Our Lady here, even from the womb, she passed the test because the moment Our Lady was immaculately conceived, as we see in the Divine Will writings, she already had reason. So it's just really good to follow the example of our Lord and Our Lady, and to just give our fiat and to persevere and to to pass the test in the divine will. And the more we pass these tests and, like, resist any temptations that God allows in our lives, then that'll make us stronger. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister. Beautiful. Yeah, the test comes in a myriad of, we always look at it as a test as something really big, but God gives us, let's say, these small quizzes at almost every moment. And how do you do better on the test? Well, you practice and you fortify your performance through your quizzes. So that's what God's doing. He's giving us a chance to sort of practice, to get better at this before the big test. Sister?
Yes, exactly. Peter, you were saying before the pause, also you mentioned the mystical gifts and the active and passive imagination and John of the Cross. And it's... also, like, I was just thinking, those are all beautiful gifts, and God may also to some persons give it, like, for His glory. But, like, it's always the divine will, the action rounds, that's the best and the highest way and the most secure, like to always do in everything we do, asking Jesus to do it in us, because we told this other kind of, you know, devotions and yeah, let's say paths, mystic paths and all, one can be deceived, but in the divine will, constantly you know, giving over our will and asking for the divine will, Jesus tells Lisa like that the devil runs away from the divine will. I mean, it can imitate the mystical gifts and all these kinds of things, but yeah, it cannot imitate the divine will. It just runs away from it. And I was just reading from the volume 27, the September 28, 1929. The first kiss outpouring between mother and son, how all created things contain each its own outpouring, how for one who lives in the fiat, it is continuous creation, divine contentment. I was doing my round in the creation and redemption, and my little intelligence paused when my charming little baby, in the act of coming out of the maternal womb, flung himself into the arms of the celestial mama, and feeling the need to make his first outpouring of love, he surrounded the neck of his mama with his little arms and kissed her. The divine queen also felt the need to make her first outpouring of love toward the divine infant, and she returned to him the maternal kiss with such affection as to feel her heart come out of her chest. These were the first outpourings that mother and son made. I thought to myself, who knows how many goods they enclosed in this outpouring? And my sweet Jesus, making himself seen as a little baby in the act of kissing his mama, told me, my daughter, how I felt the need to make this outpouring with my mama. Indeed, everything that has been done by our Supreme Being was nothing other than outpouring of love. And in the Virgin Queen, I centralized all our outpouring of love that we had in creation, because since my divine will was in her, she was capable of receiving with my kiss this outpouring of ours so great and of returning it to me. In fact, only one who lives in my divine will centralizes within herself the continuous act of all creation and the attitude of pouring it back into God. So Sister Magdalena was saying before, she mentioned from the Virgin Mary's book, also the scene of a presentation of our Lord. So that was the reading of the gospel today. Actually, and also it says there, the sea of sorrows our Lady felt even there, and when the Simon prophesied that the sword will pierce her soul also, so she acquired with her sufferings all this like little coins to I mean, bitcoins also to redeem all her children. And it made me think, yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and how many children are aborted nowadays. I was just reading the other day, I looked upon on the internet, every year it is estimated 70 million aborted babies. And I mean, it is incredible. They are all little martyrs, and they are in the divine will, the unborn souls and the souls in the purgatory. They are all in the divine will. And our Lord tells to Luisa that the prayers that he for sure answers are for the ones that are in the divine will. So when we pray for these unborn souls and for the souls in the purgatory, for their release, these prayers will surely be listened to, and we can also do the acts and rounds for them. There is also the beautiful prayer that says, Mother of Mercy, free unborn souls. And if we do it in the divine will, Yes, for sure. There will be this little souls of babies with Mary thanking us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sister. You mentioned about the mystical gifts. Now, the reason why I emphasize that is because it's very easy to get confused. We have to recognize, remember, this gift of living the divine will is exactly what it's called. It's a gift. There's nothing we can do to merit it. It doesn't matter how many acts and rounds we do all day for 24 hours, that's going to gain us this gift. Actually, on the reverse, we put the horse before the cart. Once we embrace the divine will, by being in the state of grace, Jesus tells us, by having an ardent desire for this gift, by having an upright intention, wanting this for everyone, not just for ourselves, and for asking for this gift, we receive this gift. And once we receive that gift, yes, our job is the acts and the rounds. That's how we advance. That's our job. That was Adam's job. And Mother articulates this every week. Thank God for that, that this is our job. That's our duty. But again, this is a gift. It's a mystical gift that's been given to us. And unless we give gratitude and thanksgiving to God for the gift, there's no way we can accept it and we can grow in it. But it's beautiful. And you're right. The acts and rounds are what advances us. And we must keep advancing like a good army does. Thank you, sister.
I was just reading on January 1st, volume 34. I says, now my mama wanted to make me smile at my birth and to prepare the feast for her baby son. She knew that I cannot smile if I am not loved, nor take part in any feast if love does not flow there. Therefore, loving me as true mother and possessing seeds of love in true virtue of my fiat and being queen of all creation, she envelops the sky with her love and she seals every star with an I love you, O sun, for me and for all. She envelops the sun in her sea of love and imprints on every drop of light her I love you, O sun. And she calls the sun to invest her creator with its light, and warming him, he would feel in every drop of light the I love you of his mama. She invests the wind with her love, and in every breeze she seals the I love you, O sun. And then she calls it so that with its puffs she caresses him, and we would hear in every puff of wind, I love you, I love you, O my son. She envelops all the air in her seas of love so that breathing the breath of love of my mother would be felt. She covered all the evils with her seas of love. Every darting of the fish in the sea murmured, I love you, O my son. And the fish darted, I love you, I love you. There was nothing she did not invest with her love. Therefore, you also give me the feast that my mother gave me by being born. Envelop the heavens and the earth with your I love you, O Jesus. Do not let anything escape in which your love does not run. Make me smile because I was not born one single time, but I am always reborn. And many times my births are without smile and without feast. And only my tears, sobs, whimpers, and a cold that makes me tremble and numbs all my memories remains from me. So he says, therefore, clasp me in your heart in order to warm me with your love. And with the light of my love, you will form the clothes in order to dress me. In this way, you also will make the feast for me, and I will make it for you by giving you new love and new knowledge about my will. So Our Lady did rounds in the Divine Will always, and we can take all of our rounds as our own and give it back to him and continue to show him our love. That's all he wants. God is all love. He just wants us to return that great love that he continually gives to us. And so we should continually throughout the day recall him into our hearts and minds and souls. Remember he's there, and love him and warm him with your love, with the love of your heart.
Amen. It really is simple, Mother. And the way all your sisters have put it together, it really is simple. And that's what God made it. So he had to make it accessible to all. Well, again, if you're not convinced yet, please keep reading, keep listening, and keep Radio Maria in your prayers. And please, part of your generosity, go to radiomaria.us and give if you can. We pray. Again, this is the final battle. And as we discussed, it's a war of love. It's not a war of weapons. Well, it is weapons, but the weapon is the rosary and the scapular and the crucifix and the book of heaven. Again, let's not lose this opportunity that St. Cyril of Jerusalem and St. Bernard of Clairvaux speak about. This intermediate coming is here to prepare us for God's final coming. We can't miss the boat. Let's get online right now. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.